It's Biggs Time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs Time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs Time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. It is Biggs Time, and Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you were there and you witnessed all that occurred in London, Brad. You were there most of the week. What was your biggest takeaway from the ease in which the Bears got another victory?
Well, I think it's more of what we saw the week before against Carolina, right, where they play a team that's struggling and it's not too much of a task for them to put them away early and put them away with what appears to be relative ease, right? You play a bad football team or a struggling football team, and you're not going to earn a lot of style points, but when you do it in convincing fashion, that's what good football teams are supposed to do, right?
Exactly right, and the Bears have done that the last couple weeks and look like a good football team throughout this three-game winning streak. Brad, put into context how impressed you are by the offense having scored 30 points in consecutive wins for the first time since 2013 and the fact that it came against two of the worst defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, that's one of the things you kind of have to try to balance and figure out, and you go back to the Rams, you know, and they're struggling and they can't rush the passer. And I think, you know, I kind of have to give you the same answer that, well, you're playing a team that's not good. So you should do that. The challenge will be when the degree of difficulty goes up for the Bears, how do they respond? What do they look like then? But I mean, it was sky is falling for the offensive line, for Shane Waldron, for, you know, why in the world did they keep Chris Morgan? And the line's played better. The offense has been better. And so I think we need to pause at least briefly to acknowledge that those groups have done better because, you know, shoot, it was like piling on a handful of coaches and a bunch of different players for a full week for 2 or 3 weeks there.
Yeah. Listen, I think we've come out of the last couple of games, the three-game winning streak, feeling pretty good about what the Bears have been doing, about what the coaches have been doing. There was obviously a reaction from Shane Waldron. And you like seeing that. And we heard from Matt Eberflus about the first 15. And I know that that's been downplayed. And, you know, all that matters is that you win. And the fact that they put together a three-game winning streak speaks volumes. But, you know, we talked about Eric Washington and what is he doing with the defensive line. We saw a couple of defensive linemen getting sacks that we didn't even – no, we're a part of the rotation not too long ago. And John Hoke, what can you say about that guy? It seems like they've got a lot of members of the secondary that are very good beyond the very good starters that they have. And when you are without players like your starting safety, Jaquan Brisker, like your Tyreek Stevenson unable to start the game with a calf, and you wrote that he was in a walking boot, that's scary. And then we know that Kyler Gordon left that game with a hamstring injury. Do we have any update on any of these members of the secondary? And again, kudos to the coaching for being able to handle that many injuries.
Yeah, I don't have any updates on the injured guys other than that the bye week's probably a little bit earlier than you would want if you were just picking it in a normal year and you didn't have a trip to London or somewhere else abroad to play a game where you wanted to back up that trip with your week off. And the Bears had a stretch here, guys, where they really late bye weeks, like week 13. I think they had a week 14 in there. So eventually it kind of balances out and the league spreads that around. But perhaps the timing is fortunate for them with some of the injuries in the secondary. They've played well. You don't have to rush someone back and risk the opportunity of making things worse, but at the same time, you want to get your frontline guys in action as quickly as possible, right?
No doubt about it. Brad, when you evaluate Caleb Williams after six games, you take the bye week and the Bears are doing their own self-scouting. When you look at the six-game sample size, what was it that he did that you think turned his season around most?
I don't think it's season was headed somewhere where, boy, he's got to turn this around. I think the thing that's been impressive is we've been able to see him operate with success at the line of scrimmage, and that's pre-snap and that's post-snap, knowing where to go with the ball, understanding what the defense is presenting, understanding, you know, if they're shifting into something after the snap, and based on super high completion percentage here of late, he's got a real good handle on what's going on. Are there going to be some instances where he's fooled later on this season? Absolutely. There's going to be multiple instances of it, right? He's going to run into some stuff that's confusing. I'm sure the Minnesota Vikings and Brian Flores will cook up some pretty crazy stuff that he perhaps hasn't encountered. But I just think it's the operation there, pre and post snap, which, I mean, that's where so many of these young quarterbacks, almost all of them, really struggle, and it's a process for them to see if they can kind of figure it out and slow it down. And he seems comfortable in that regard. He's talked about just getting used to playing football again because, you know, he stopped playing. What was it, like mid November last year when he was at USC? Late November, so it had been a long time since he'd been out there, and he's starting to get into a groove.
Yeah, that's fairly apparent. He also seems like the faster you want to go, the better he wants to play. It's wild to me that you see him, if he can call a couple plays in the huddle, it just seems like he's got a real feel for the game, and when the rhythm picks up, he picks up.
Yeah, and they've been fortunate because they've been able to move the ball. They've been able to avoid some of those third and really unmanageable situations. They've done a good job protecting the football, right? And the interception, he knows that not only should that not have been an interception,
Yeah. Should
have been a huge play, maybe a touchdown. But you like the way he's wired. That's like the first thing he wants to talk about after the game is, boy, I really screwed that up. They're making some gains here. They've got some confidence. They're not struggling to put away teams that are going to have really bad records when this year's over. And I know anyone can rise up on any given Sunday in the NFL, but the Bears made sure to this point here of late that hasn't happened against them. These games haven't even been close.
So, Brad, let's look at the offensive line. Tevin Jenkins comes in, starts and finishes, which is significant. You look at the way Matt Pryor has stepped in and been pretty solid at right guard. Nate Davis, healthy scratch. Ryan Bates could come back and be a backup. Those are two pretty expensive reserves. What are the plans for the offensive line, and does either Davis or Bates factor into the equation?
Well, we can't determine the plan until we know who all is healthy, and Larry Borum's making some decent money too. He hit that escalator for year four, so I think Larry Borum's at like $3 million, I'm pretty sure,
right?
And he's on injured reserve as well with Bates. It sounds like Larry will probably be a return to practice guy this coming week, He had the high ankle sprain in the preseason game at Kansas City, and I think they start the window for him. You were always kind of looking after the bye week, I believe, with Ryan Bates. If he's there next week, wouldn't surprise me. If he needs a little more time, also wouldn't surprise me. So, you know, how does it shake out with all these bodies? We've got to see where everyone's at when everyone is healthy. You know, if Bates and Borum come back right away, look good in practice, you've got to make some moves. You can't keep 11 offensive linemen on the 53-man roster. They started the season with 10. They went down to 9 when they put Bates on IR, and they're at 9 right now. So if they have a lineman go down moving forward, it's pretty simple, you know, swap them out there as long as Larry or Ryan are ready to go. If everyone's healthy, they're going to have to make some moves, and Nate Davis could be the odd man out. Like, if he's going to be a healthy and active against Jacksonville, and you've got more people healthy, he could go with his guaranteed salary and be paid, you know, handsomely by the organization through the end of the season.
Just tell us the mini fridge is safe, right? Doug Kramer?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would think so. You know, I would, that would be my guess. That would be my guess.
Brad, help us out with what the week holds. The players, obviously, they're off all week, but I'm sure there are guys that will be going in for treatment. You know, talking to Patrick Manley, wondering if they have some tryout, if they try to sign a long snapper. We still don't know the extent of the knee injury that Scott Daly suffered, the long snapper. But if they were to sign someone, it's conceivable that some of those guys could try to meet at a local high school or something just to get some of those snaps going and have a little practice time with that. I thought that was an interesting suggestion. I don't know if that's even allowed. When does Eberflus speak again? Is everybody off for the rest of the week? What's your writing schedule become?
What's your plan, Brad?
What the hell are you going to do with your life?
I'll probably find something to do. I would think the coaches are in for another day or two, maybe 3 days, just kind of going through the self-scout, getting prepared for Washington, kind of tidying things up a little bit in what they want to do. And then I would imagine Eberflus gives them probably a 3-day weekend, maybe a 4. I don't know. We'll have to see. But in terms of Daly, NFL media reported that it's not a serious injury for him. So it wouldn't surprise – yeah, which is good, really good news.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if the Bears take a look at a guy or two just in case, right? You know, how's his knee going to be – next week in practice when they need him, right? What's he going to be like then? You don't want to, you know, practice with Cole Kmet snapping all the time. You guys saw, even on the kicks they made, some of the snaps are a little bit high. Like, you want the kicker and punter to be able to practice with professional-grade snaps in practice. So it's possible that they would look at a long snapper, because I think Patrick Scales coming back from that back surgery, he's another player on IR. I think we're looking at least a couple weeks that he's still out before he could be designated to return to practice. Perhaps a little bit longer than that.
So, Brad, we debated during the pick six what position group was the most surprising or has maybe been more productive than expected. If you were to answer that same question, how would you?
Which position group?
Yes. Yeah.
Boy.
David said the defensive line. I stayed with the secondary because not only is that the best position group, but it was pretty good despite the injuries.
Yeah, I think the injuries and the depth was surprising. Yeah. The defensive line, to me, Brad, guys who you don't typically count on came through like Sunday, Byron Cowart and Chris Williams. You just don't expect to see them register sacks in a game like that. you could go a couple different ways.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just talking at a Sunday's game, I guess I'd go with the secondary, although those guys have played before. I mean,
right.
You look at Jalen Jones. He had like 460 snaps as an undrafted rookie free agent in 2022. Blackwell played as an undrafted rookie in 2022. He was a waiver claim, but he wasn't drafted by the Eagles. And Elijah Hicks has started, you know, what, 7-8 games?
That was his ninth start. Like, that was his ninth.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy that was within like a couple picks of being Mr. Irrelevant. He was like 253 or 54 overall in the draft. So all those guys had played before. I guess I would go with them. If you were talking about over the course of the season at this point, I would probably switch to the defensive line because of contributions by some people that you maybe weren't just sure what they were going to provide in terms of a newcomer like Darrell Taylor. In terms of, you know, Andrew Billings has been better rushing the quarterback than the biggest Andrew Billings fans probably could have projected. So, and they could get better there. You know, I'll mention this, and I wrote it, I think, last week. A lot of talk about how Jervon Dexter kind of reshaped his body, right? Well,
yes.
and he did, and it's been paying dividends. Zach Pickens did the same thing from a workout standpoint this offseason as Dexter in terms of getting stronger, getting leaner, getting a little bit quicker. And we haven't seen it because he's been slowed by that groin injury for, you know, 2 months now anyway. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's back on the practice field next week. And he's a guy they think they can get some meaningful snaps from as the season continues to unfold.
If he comes back, they have another defensive end that just started practicing. Is Dominic Robinson in trouble? Talking about healthy scratches.
Robinson, if they're going to make a move, for God's sake. Velas, like, here's the thing. Like, you want to get rid of Velas, okay, what do you need?
They're
who are you going to get?
A fourth-round pick they'll get.
Did
for
he
him.
Pass through customs?
Yeah, it's the person that's replacing him on your imaginary roster, are they going to get a uniform? Jacob Martin, the defensive end, is practicing. If they like what they see from him, perhaps that's an issue for Robinson. Pickens isn't on IR. He's just been down for a while, so it's not like they got to make a move to activate Zach.
Brad, 30 seconds. The Lions losing Aiden Hutchinson. Do you see that affecting the NFC North race significantly?
It's a factor. I mean, you take the best player off each team, and it's impossible to say it's not a factor, right? He's probably the best player for the Detroit Lions, and that's a roster with a lot of really good players. So that's got to be an issue for them. It's tough to see because he's a fun guy to watch play the game, and they've had some other injuries too. So we'll see, you know, how they weather things moving forward here.
So there's no news conferences scheduled for the rest of the week. Just making sure of that.
Nothing until I think Monday.
Okay.
Nothing this week, nothing the rest of this week.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools. They are, of course, made in the USA for 100 years, Estwing.com.
Enjoy the break, Brad. You earned it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Welcome back.